wonder. Oh, take it, see it, for thy courts above. That's talking about praise, church. That's talking about worship. Amen. I appreciate that, Sister Daddy. Praise the Lord. Thankful for what God is doing in our hearts and our lives. Does anybody in here feel like God's helping you? Encouraging you? Admonishing you? Correcting you, maybe? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because that's what He's promised to do, because He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And praise the Lord. So here comes peanut butter and jelly. Serious Servants Institute. How many like peanut butter and jelly? Anybody like peanut butter and jelly in here? Yeah, PBJ. Praise God. Serious Servants Institute, School of Ministry. Does anybody remember what ministry we all have? The Ministry of Reconciliation, which is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing the good news, so all can be reconciled unto God. You see, we were alienated unto God until we heard the gospel, the good news. And then we became reconciled unto God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the wonderful work of salvation. Praise the Lord. That's why it's so important to know the truths of the kingdom of God, and especially the truths about the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of God. I mean, just the wonderful things God wants to do in the hearts of men and women. Amen. As we begin tonight, the first part is already going to be filled out for you till we get down to the middle, just for the sake of time tonight. But I want to read it. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 7. It says, "Little children, let no man deceive you." Do you realize you can be deceived? Don't think you can't, because you can be. That's why John said, "Let no man deceive you." This is what you want to hang on to. "He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Then he said in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect." In other words, our love for God. Not God's love towards us. It's perfect to start with. Our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We preached about that this morning. He's the righteous judge. Our love is made perfect, and this is how it's made perfect. We begin to look at Jesus Christ and want to be just like Him. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Amen. Do you want to be like Jesus? Be careful if you say that. Because that's what He wants in our lives too. Amen? Because sometimes it may cost us some things of that old man, that old nature. Amen? So that love for God would be made perfect. And so then we must not really compare ourselves between one another so much as I need to compare myself to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, it's not going to be any good to say, "Well, but..." When you stand before God, and you can't just say, "Well, but Sister Maddie did it, but Sister Lindsay did it." If God was saying, "I don't want you to do it." Amen. We can't compare to one another. It's all right to have heroes. I've had wonderful heroes of faith in my life, in my Christian life. Men, women that I've looked up to, and they have encouraged my heart and mentored me and helped me get understanding of the glorious kingdom of God. But it's going to be a matter of, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I realize the Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." It's not a wrong thing to have mentors. It's not a wrong thing to want to be like someone that's leading you into the truths of the kingdom of God. That's not wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But I always want to make sure I'm comparing myself to Jesus. Am I acting like Jesus? And here's the number one priority of what we're teaching tonight. My attitude like Jesus's. My attitude. And I realize attitude covers a lot of territory. Why we've got so many lessons on it thus far, because it does cover a lot of territory. Once again, an attitude is a position assumed for a specific purpose. And of course, we are in the house of God. We are children of God. We are serving God. So we are dealing with our position of serving Him. Where am I standing on how serious do I want to serve my God? It's always been the age-old question, do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? The question is, do you want to please God? And are you serious about serving Him to find out what He wants you to do? Because it may be different for every individual on some areas and some things. But you've got to have a walk with Him that you know, that you know, that you know. God said, I want this done. Woo, praise God. You see, everybody, I don't know why I'm going this way, but I am. When I went to pioneer this church, not everybody said, oh, that'd be great, Brother Pepper. Matter of fact, the majority of the response I got from different people, I said, well, I'm going to pioneer a church in Chelsea. And they just looked at me and said, what for? And I'm thinking, okay, because God told me to. Why else would I do it? Amen. What for? Why don't you pioneer one over here or pioneer one over here or, you know, pioneer one over there? And I said, well, that'd be grand, that'd be dandy, but that's not where God told me to pioneer one. Amen. And so I didn't really meet with a lot of encouragement. I actually got met with a lot more discouragement about pioneering the church here in Chelsea. But there were a few men and women who said, Brother Pepper, that's what God wants you to do, then it's going to happen. You go for it. Wow. Now which one would have rather heard? Yeah. You see, it's always good to have a right attitude towards what God's trying to do in somebody's life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. A settled way of thinking. That means your thinking is set. A settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. I'm a Christian. Is that the reflection you give? Is that what everybody else sees? Amen. Praise God. Have you settled your way of thinking to make sure your behavior is lining up with your profession? That's what attitude's all about. And of course, we realize the bad attitude is someone that's eager or quick to argue or fight. Aggressively defiant, uncooperative behavior, a resentful or antagonistic manner. So that's the bad attitude. And the right attitude is settled in our way of thinking towards our God and His kingdom. So tonight we're going to deal with a servant's attitude towards worship again. And worship is the giving of our entire self. I wanted to, you know, reiterate that. I wanted to cover that again. Amen. To get on our minds and keep it in our minds and keep washing it over and over and over, because the more you think about it, the more you hear it, the more you get it. Praise God. And I know sometimes it sounds redundant to some, but that's okay, because worship is the giving of our entire self, spiritual and body. Our thoughts, our emotions, giving to God's use. Can I say that again? Given to whose use? Whose? Then why do you use it so much for yourself? Well, think about it. Think about it. Yeah, I'm not accusing you of that by no means. It's just a rhetorical question. There we go. Rhetorical. Thank you, Sister Lindsay, and whoever else said it too. I'm like Brother Lucas. My hearing sometimes is impaired, and sometimes it's just selective. Praise God. He didn't say that part, but, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. And so all of life, in other words, everything about my life is an act of submission, an act of worship, Our service to God is not centered on a specific time or a specific place, a time or a temple, but it's done whenever and wherever we are. In other words, it's done everywhere. Worship cannot be removed from our life as a child of God. If it is, we're probably not a child of God yet. I mean, because it's just something that follows the life of a child of God. Why? Because there's been a new creature created, new desires given. And everything about that new creature and that creature that was created is created after Christ Jesus. And Jesus came to do not His will, but the Father's. And if that's not in you and in your mind frame and in your attitude, then you're, the Bible says you're none of His. See, there's a change that transpires when Christ comes into our life. And so we're realizing then that's where worship truly begins. Amen. Because we have become the temple of God. The temple of God. And it's not in the notes here, but just a little reminder, Jesus made the statement, God is searching, looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means the Holy Ghost is going to be involved, and that means God's Word is going to be involved. And those that worship God will worship in spirit and in truth. Now, Jesus made the statement to the little woman there at the well, you worship what you know not. That was kind of rough to take, wasn't it? Woo! Why? Well, because Samaria was a place where they erected their own temple, their own way of worship. And so, just to give you an idea, everybody, all through the ages, this is why John told us, you know, let no man deceive you. Because there will be multitudes that will erect their own way of worship. But it's not God's way of worship. It's true. It's true. But what I'm going to share with us tonight is a portion of, you know, because worship involves, what we learned last week, worship involves speaking, worship involves listening, and worship involves doing. Amen. So tonight, I want to deal with worship involves speaking. How many have lips? Okay. How many have a tongue? How many have learned since childhood how to use your tongue to form words? Awesome. You're gaining ground already for tonight. Hallelujah. Glory. So you have the physical capability that God has granted unto you to speak and bring forth the English language. How many in here know the English language? Are you sure? I can give you a test pretty quick. I've learned English now for the last 20-some years, and I think I'm starting to get it a little bit. How many know a foreign language here tonight? Anybody know a foreign language? How many know a foreign language here tonight? How many know a foreign language here tonight? How many know a foreign language here tonight? And I'll leave you alone. Woo! Spanish is a foreign language. If you did not know that, that is not the common language of America. Amen. That is a foreign language, and we do have curriculum that teaches that in our school. Amen. Hallelujah. And I've got some students that know a few words of Spanish. Praise the Lord. I think even Maddie should have raised her hand too, but I don't know if she's ever used it since she's learned it. Amen. Praise God. But so a foreign language, sometimes it's harder to speak because it doesn't really correlate with our English language. But God doesn't necessarily want us to speak a foreign language. We don't have to speak a foreign language to give Him praise. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. We can speak a foreign language and praise Him in a foreign language too, under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. So actually, every one of us should have raised our hand if we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because in a sense, we speak foreign languages. Hallelujah. As the Holy Ghost gives utterance, but we don't really know the foreign languages. Amen. Hallelujah. But it is amazing what God can do. Amen. And what God wants to stir in our hearts and stir in our souls by the Spirit of God. And I've got to move on here tonight. I got a lot I want to share. So Psalm 67:3 is our first scripture tonight. It says, "Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee." Now we're going to move into some Hebrew and Greek again tonight, because it really, really kind of amplifies what praise is all about. When you start grabbing a hold of what the Hebrew word for praise is. And so here in this scripture, Psalm 67:3 says, "Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee." That Hebrew word there in Psalms is yada. And Sister Lindsay has shared this with us in our time of worship at different times. And as you look there at your lesson and your handout, it says to use, to hold out the hand. Now, I'm not going to... Because it says hold out the hand, so you can praise God like that. That's why we lift our hands. Because it's part of God's worship. It's part of God's word of how He wants to be worshipped. And so whether you lift them a little, you lift them a lot, or you just get plumb excited about it and lift them all the way. Hallelujah. You're worshiping God. You're praising God. Hallelujah. And for whatever reason, because God's linked it that way, you're going to find that speaking and praising requires words. You want the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Then start talking. Woo! Oh, help me, Jesus. This is going to be preached teaching. You know that, right? It's going to be an hour. You know that, right? Praise God. I mean, it's just the reality to worship and to praise. We're going to narrow it down to praise. There's going to have to be words spoken. There's going to have to be words sent up to God, spoke to God. And they don't have to be very many, but they need to be with all the heart, all the soul, and all the strength. Hallelujah. You're going to have to say something. You'll never get baptized in the Holy Ghost if you don't want to talk. Because God's not going to make you talk. He's not going to make you sing. He's not going to make you lift your voice. He's not going to make you be happy. But you can be happy. You can lift your voice. You can lift your hands. You can sing. Hallelujah. Praise God, because that's what He wants from you. Because He created you and I with the ability to speak. He created you and I with the ability to walk, to move. Ooh, hallelujah. He's created us with mobility. Hallelujah. And He wants us to use it for worship, praise. Hallelujah. So yada is the use to hold out the hand physically, not just, you know, you can sit here and, all right, I'm lifting my hands now to you, Lord. It says physically. Oh, hallelujah. That's just like you can pray to yourself. That's good. But when you lift your voice, it just does something else. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm not against praying to yourself. I pray to myself all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Because if I prayed out loud, you might hear what I'm praying for you and might scare you. Hallelujah. I'm serious. I come up to folks and start praying for them. And unless the Holy Ghost just unctions me to get loud about it, I kind of keep it to myself, you know, because I know what God's wanting to say and what He's doing. And so I'm praying what He wants prayed. And you're just going to have to get a hold of it when He gets a hold of you. Amen. Because I can't make you do anything. God can't. You can't make me do anything. But God's got a way of working it out. Woo, praise our God. Hallelujah. And so it's a holding out of the hand physically to throw a stone or an arrow. In other words, you're being precise. Amen. Hallelujah. And then even later down it says to shoot. And that means you're taking aim. That's what Sister Lindsay has shared with us. Especially to revere or worship with extended hands. Even sometimes to bemoan by the wringing of the hands. In other words, there's times when your praise is joyous and exalting. There's times when you're going, oh God, not again, Lord. Oh Lord, I am sorry. That's still praise. That's still praise unto God, because you're responding to the Spirit of God, and you're not really responding with joy, because He's talking to you something about that you had been doing, but now you're not, and you really feel bad about it. But when you're talking to God about it, it's still praise. It's still praise. Hallelujah. And so we see then Yahada means to cast out. It means confession. Amen. It means giving of thanks, giving, being thankful, giving thanksgiving. So everything about the word yada is physical and verbal. That's not even the only word. We're going to get into some more. Hallelujah. It's all about praise, and it's physical and verbal. It's lifting my voice, thanksgiving. Anybody know how to say thank you? That wasn't so hard, was it? Now, if you'll continually tell God that, you will find that He will respond to that thanksgiving by a move of the Holy Ghost in your heart, mind, and life. Glory to God. But if you're sitting there and think, well, you know, I don't know if I have anything to be thankful for or not. Oh, no. You have been deceived. See, I told you how easy it is to be deceived. Because sometimes we get to looking at all the bad things and the hard things and the difficult things and the inconvenient things. And we just get like, well, I just don't know if I got anything to praise God about or not. Oh, brothers and sisters, we got to get our minds on the King. Hallelujah. In His majesty, in His pomp, in His power. Hallelujah. And it is going to bring forth praise and thanksgiving out of your lips. And you're going to lift your voice to God. You're going to lift your hands to God. That's why we sing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because it's praise to our God. A lot of our songs are praise to the Lord and reminders of what we need to praise Him about. Amen. Praise. Speaking. Worship involves speaking. And praise is used. Thanksgiving is used. And the word yada in the Old Testament, once again, shows forth physical and verbal worship of God, praise of God. If you want the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to start praising God. You're going to have to start asking God. You can't just come down here and be silent, because you will never get the baptism in the Holy Ghost being silent. You'll get the baptism in the Holy Ghost, number one, when you start asking God to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Number two, when you start praising Him, for it is His promise, hallelujah, to as many as are afar off, hallelujah. And you start praising Him for the baptism in the Holy Ghost, because it's His promise to believers, hallelujah. So now you got the, and then you start lifting your hands unto God. You got yada going on, hallelujah. You got praise going on, and in the midst of your praise, in the midst of your worship, He will descend down and fill you to overflowing with the Holy Ghost of God, and you'll begin to speak forth a language you do not know, but you know it's come from God. Hallelujah. How many, when they first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, got scared? Scared me to death. Why? Because I got baptized in the Holy Ghost by myself at home, and I wasn't for sure about it. Can you relate to that, Sister Maddie? Amen. Sister Maddie got the baptism in the Holy Ghost on her mail route. Hallelujah. And I'm sure it scared her to death until she got to church, where she could really realize that was God. Hallelujah. Because that's what it was for me too. You know, because the Holy Ghost started moving on me again, and I was in church service, and I was struggling with it. I was battling against it. I was fighting against it because, believe it or not, in my mind, I thought the devil had jumped on me. Because it was totally foreign. I didn't understand it. Amen. But when I got the confirmation at the house of God, Brother Pepper, that's the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you knew it was the Holy Ghost of God now, and you weren't fearful now, and worship and praise just continued to flow. Amen? Because that's what He's going to bring. After all, that's what Jesus said. You'll worship in spirit and in truth. So, you're going to have a hard time. I'll just tell you right up front. You're going to have a hard time with Pentecostal worship till you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You just ain't going to feel it. You're just going to look around and wonder, why is everybody getting so excited? Why is everybody running? I've been there. You know, I told you a little bit this morning. I come to that Pentecostal church, and I just wasn't for sure about any of that. And here you got them running around the church. I mean, you got them speaking in tongues, and I've never seen this, encountered this. But yet inside, I knew it was God. But at the same time, I'm going, oh my, these folks are strange. Because I needed to be in control. I needed to be calm. Some of you probably have seen my stern face before. You know, I got this. Better straighten up. Yep, you've seen it multitudes of times. Hallelujah. Any school student of mine has seen it multitudes of times. Especially when their homework wasn't done. Amen. I keep forgetting, Sister Maddie, you've been there. You've done that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tate, same way. Hallelujah. We've had these kids in school before, ever before they even come to church here. Amen. God is so good. I got to move on here. Hallelujah. But we're talking about praise. We're talking about Yadah. So I want to move on to the next scripture, Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That means praise is not always just convenient or easy. It's something I give on purpose. Amen. To God continually. Amen. That's why when you're in the house of God, and you may get your touch of God, and you may get your time with God, but when you go back to your seat, please don't check out. Please don't disengage, because we're to praise God continually. Hallelujah. And give Him the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. So if there are some that are still down here seeking the face of the Lord, then that is great opportunity for you to practice your praise. Hallelujah. And practice your thanksgiving to God. And start thanking God for what He's doing around those altars of prayer. Start thanking God for what He just did. Hallelujah. When you were around that altar of prayer. Hallelujah. And just continually keep your mind on the Lord. If you're not careful, you'll get in a second time, and you'll begin to praise God more, and God will move more in your life. But if you're dissatisfied with a little dab and a little touch, that's all you'll get. That was preach mode. The sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a Greek word. Once again, it's number 133. And I can't speak Greek. It's praising. It's the act of praising, especially a thank offering or praise. And it's from number 134. And so we as we move down here, then we move to another word that's from 134. In other words, Greek words kind of build on each other. And to really kind of get sometimes a full understanding of what it's saying, you got to look up all the several Greek words, because they take some and put them together. You know, it's kind of like a compound word in English. It's what it is. It's a compound word in Greek. And that's kind of what they've done here. And so then when you start breaking it down, it means laudation. Concretely and commendable, a commendable thing. praise. And laudation, one of the synonyms of laudation, because it's part of praising God. That's why for the longest time we never clapped for human beings. Because we reserved it totally for God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not wrong for giving honor to where honor's due. That's why we still clap for people that are... And you've clapped for me coming up here to this pulpit, and I appreciate that. Because that's giving honor where honor might be due, might not be due. By the time I get done, you may not want to do it again. I don't know. But it's the reality, that's part of praise. It's praising God by applauding God for His great works and the things that He's doing. I mean, you got to realize our attitude and our mind frame, when we start zeroing in on praising God, instead of whining and complaining and murmuring and wishing it was better and hey, but if you and I can start lifting our voice, start praising God, thanking God that He's going to take me through. This is hard, Lord, but I praise You that You're with me. You haven't left me. You haven't forsaken me. You are with me. You'll lead me out of this wilderness if I'll quit whining about it and just start giving You the praise and thanksgiving that's due Your name. You'll take me right out of this valley with a high hand. Oh, there's that word. That's a high hand right there, church. Woo! God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt with a high hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so praise, speaking. Once again, all of these words for praise include physical and verbal. Don't ever make this statement. I'll never praise God like that. You'll never pray through again until you do. Oh, yeah. It just depends on how stubborn you are. You can go a long, long time and get dry as corn shucks just because you don't want to praise God like that. When you get tired of being dry as corn shucks, you'll be ready to praise God just like that. Hallelujah. I told God, oh God, I finally graduated to lifting my hands. You know, I come from a church. You just only moved if someone said move. You know, sometimes we're getting that way in the Pentecostal church, now that you talk about it. Hallelujah. I shouldn't have to tell you to lift your hands. I shouldn't have to tell you to clap your hands. I shouldn't have to tell you to stand to your feet. If the Holy Ghost can't get you on your feet, gets you to clapping your hands and lifting your hands, really, I probably shouldn't. But sometimes we're a little slow. Anybody been slow about worshiping God any time in your life? Sometimes I have. And it was a great graduation when I started. Sister Maddie, you're sitting right there. I wasn't any different, Sister Maddie. I started down here. I started, And then when God finally got a hold of me, it's just the high hand. Hallelujah. It's the high hand. You wonder why my shoulders are so big? You ever held your hands up for 30 minutes or an hour? Want to get strong right there? Just go ahead and worship. Go ahead and praise God. Hallelujah. And I know every one of you have been down around an altar of prayer, had your hand up seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Just put that one down and put the other one up. Hallelujah. If they both get tired, go ahead and sit down on the altar and cry, God, I'm giving you all. Just don't give up. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Amen. Keep praising God. That's the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That applause. Applause. Amen. Thanksgiving. See, once again, it's verbal and it's physical. Proverbs or Psalms 35:28. Oh, my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness. See, this is how you want to praise God, spirit and truth. Speak of his righteousness. When you're praising God, tell him how good he is. Tell him how righteous he is. Tell him how gracious he is. Tell him how kind he is. Just tell him all about himself. Hallelujah. He already knows it, but he loves to hear it coming from his children. Hallelujah. That's what praise is all about. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long. Another Hebrew word. It's a compound Hebrew word. It also came from laudation, a hymn, thus praise. Ever wonder why we sing hymns? Because the Bible tells us to. Hallelujah. Most folks won't have a problem singing hymns because they have sung hymns for years and years and years. But to lift your hand, I got a problem. To lift your voice, but God says you need to get rid of those problems. Hallelujah, and praise me. Glory to God. And so we find then this is praise. It's a hymn. So it's, once again, it's still including hand clapping, hand uplifting, verbal, amen, praising God, singing, hallelujah to the Lamb. I always wondered why I wanted to sing after I got saved. Now I know why. I did, and you know that I just wondered even in the beginning, Lord, why do I always want to sing? I mean, it was birthed in me by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And I you know, singing calms, I'm like Brother Whitley, singing calms my nerves. Hallelujah. And so we see then, as we move on, then the compound word, it's derived from, here's that other word. Halal. See, I said it. I don't know if it's right or not. It's to be clear. I like that. You need to be clear about what you want to say to God. Don't beat around the bush. You want the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Ask for it. Hallelujah. You want healing in your body? Then ask for it. Amen. You want understanding? Then ask for it. Have it be clear. Be clear when you're talking to God, because it can be talking about verbal, or it can be talking about color too. It halal means, have you ever heard pastors say it's your time to shine? Because that word halal means to shine, hence to make show. Showing how much I love God by lifting my hands. Amen. By lifting my voice. By applauding my God. Hallelujah for his great works. Hallelujah. And so we see then that, and we're moving into halal here. It means to boast. Not about self. You're boasting about your God. Is that not what David did? Hallelujah. Is there not a cause? And oh my, when when Goliath started berating God, I mean, David jumped right up and said, oh my, back in your face, buddy. My God, oh my God, who delivered me from the bear, delivered me from the lion, is going to put you into my hands too. What was he doing? That's boldness. That's boasting. Hallelujah. Well, what happens when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Boldness. Glory to God. Ready to share the goodness of God. Ready to praise God. You got to quit worrying about what other people think. Because you're not accountable for their praise. You're accountable for yours. Woo. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, he's the righteous judge, you know. So here, it's to boast. It's to make a show. In other words, you're not really trying to bring... And this is a place where the enemy always tries to hinder us from worshiping God. Well, you know, everybody's just going to see you and think, well, there you go again. That's the biggest lie of the devil. That is the biggest lie of the devil. Anybody in here heard that lie before? You know, think, well, I'm just, you know, man, I'm just making, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't want to have to be the one to move first. Why not? Somebody has to. Glory. Hey, I mean, you just honored our first responders. you know, here just at 911, and our first responders are, you know, hey, be a first responder. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hey, you know what's going to happen if everybody wants to be a first responder? Everybody will. Woo, glory to God. You know, because it's not just for an elite few. It's not just for a chosen few. It is for all His children. Hallelujah. When they begin to worship God, to boast about their God. Oh, my, to be clamorously foolish. Woo, my, my, I ain't going to do that. I'll look like a fool. You ever been there? Glory. I watched my son-in-law at a youth camp one time. So he was running around the sanctuary. It's a pretty good-sized sanctuary. He was younger then. It was even during the preaching. Man, he come running around there, and he was running back behind everybody. He wasn't even up front. I mean, just the power of God hit him. He fell on the floor. Not because he slipped down, because the power of God hit him. He fell on the floor and rolled about 15 feet, jumped back up, and kept running. Well, I'll never do that. I'll look like a fool. Well, that's what Allah says you need to look like. Hallelujah. Yeah, God's ways are not man's ways. God's got a way of humbling us. Praise God. Don't you want to be humble? Well, never tell God I won't worship that way. Hallelujah. Glory, or He will humble you until you do. Praise God. I mean, it's just, Brother Matthew testified about it. You know, however we, you know, treat God, serve God, or treat somebody else, God's going to treat us the same way. Hallelujah. Well, God's got a funny bone. So, you don't want to worship that way? Okay, we'll see about that. Glory. Well, you'll have the best blessing you've ever had in your entire life when you worship that way you said you wasn't going to. Means to rave. You may think my preaching's like that. Sometimes it is. I'm just a raving, foolish celebrator of salvation. That's right there. Hallelujah. Glory. To celebrate. Amen. To celebrate. It says it several times there. Amen. To make a fool. To give light. To be mad against. You know what you're going to be mad against in praising and worshiping God? Sin. That's what you're going to be mad against. When you start entering into praise and worship, you just get literally upset about sin, and you don't want any part of it in your life. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to get to it, hopefully, if the Lord tarries. The power of the Holy Ghost. When it says power, it's talking about miraculous. We have limited the word power to firecrackers. And the Bible's word for power is dunamis, and it always means miraculous power that you won't have naturally, but God comes on the scene. That's what we need in worship. All three phases. Hallelujah. Oh my. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just want to share that little tidbit with you unless you fade it out on before I get to it. Praise God. So you see here then, it also means to give in marriage, which means commitment. Sing. Praise. Rage. Once again, that rage is not going to be against God. It's going to be against sin. To shine. Glory. There's no greater feeling in the whole wide world than to feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. But don't get comfortable. Always be ready to worship in spirit and in truth. Not in just the way you deem convenient. I made a statement here a while back and asked, Are you still speaking the same tongue you've always spoke? Because it's more convenient? Or do you allow God to give you a new tongue? See, I heard a preacher preach that one time. And I thought, yeah, that's me. It's easy, it's convenient, because you flowed with that tongue before. But you need to be desirous to speak in whatever tongue He wants you to speak in. Don't just go for convenience. Go for the rave. Hallelujah. Woo! Go for the celebration. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Just get so happy. Praise God. Because you're going to see the King. Hallelujah. And so we see then this word talks about, once again, it's physical and verbal. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So are you getting a mental picture and a mental attitude that praise is physical and verbal? That's why it's not just Pentecostal worship. It's God's worship. Hallelujah. We just see it a lot more in a Pentecostal realm because we're tapping in to the power, the miraculous Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. And so I thought it was very fitting to put Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4 right here. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. You got to realize here, this encounter with the Holy Ghost was an encounter of worship. It was an encounter of praise. It wasn't just a bunch of people sitting in a room twiddling their thumbs. They were praying in an upper room. They were reading the Word of God in an upper room. They were worshiping the only way they knew how to worship, in an upper room. Hallelujah. But on the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, their worship got put in high gear. Hallelujah. And it moved into that boasting, that celebrating, hallelujah, that foolish clamor. Because the Holy Ghost came on the scene and began to lead them to worship in spirit and in truth. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse number 11, amen. Just starting in the middle of verse number 11. We do hear them speak in our tongues. What are they speaking? The wonderful works of God. Woo! Remember what we just talked about? Boasting about our God. Amen. Telling God how righteous He is. Telling God how great He is. Thanking Him for all the things that He's done, the works that He's done, the salvation that He's wrought. We've always got a lot to praise God for if we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because that never gets old. And we're gonna be worshiping God throughout all eternity about salvation. Hallelujah. We're never gonna grow tired, never gonna go weary, never check out, never unengage. We're gonna worship for eternity. Hallelujah. We're going to praise Him continually. Is that not what's going on there? Right now. Glory. They were all amazed. They were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." They thought they were crazy. They thought they'd done had too much to drink. Yeah, really, that's what that's inferring. They were mocking. They weren't listening to what was going on. They weren't hearing the wonderful works of God. The conviction was fallen, and so they were... Have you ever noticed when people get under conviction, they want to make light of things? They want to make light of worship. They want to make light of the preaching. They want to make light of Sunday school. They want to make light. They want to make jokes. They want to cut up, you know. What is that? That's Holy Ghost conviction. Yeah, it's disrespectful. Of course it is. I mean, yeah, you ain't supposed to do that. And they were being disrespectful here because God's power was on the scene and God was moving. That's when Peter stood up, and then the 11, he started preaching, praise God. Woo, hallelujah, starting telling them how they have sinned against God and they'd killed the Lord of glory. That's pretty tough, isn't it, Brother Matthew? That's just like me standing up here and saying, all right, it's your fault, Matthew. Jesus died. How's that make you feel? Well, on this side of the cross, you're going, praise God. Hallelujah. Of course he did. That's why I'm saved. Hallelujah. But they weren't on that side of the cross yet. They had crucified the Lord of glory. It was their voice that lifted, crucify him, crucify him. And now 3,000 got saved, and their voice is now being lifted in praise and glory and honor and magnifying him. Because they were all also filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, the scripture doesn't say that specifically, but the reality is believers were always filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't an option or something that they just went around hoping they could have. They were always filled with the Holy Ghost when they got saved. Hallelujah. And as you go read in the book of Acts, you find that everywhere they went preaching, talking about the Holy Ghost, I mean, you know, those that Ephesus, house of Cornelius. I mean, Peter's right in the middle of probably one of the greatest sermons he's ever preached, and they just burst out praising God, magnifying God, and speaking in tongues. Wouldn't bother me a bit if y'all wanted to do that tonight. Didn't bother Peter either, because he realized the power of God was moving in the house. Hallelujah. And he was astonished to the fact that the Gentiles had just received the same gift of the Holy Ghost and of salvation, because you got to get saved before you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember that. You're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You want to make sure the blood's in its proper place. You want to make sure that you actually have been cleansed. And you actually have confessed your sins. Been born again by the Spirit of God and regenerated. Or you're actually trying to go up the wrong stairwell, because you got to enter in at the gate before you can get to the stairs. Praise God. And so we see then the power of God, the miraculous power of God, starts moving and filling the early disciples, and they begin to worship. They begin to praise God. They begin to lift their hand. There's no doubt in my mind what everybody was seeing is what we call Pentecostal worship now. Amen. It didn't originate with the Pentecostal church. It originated with the first church. Hallelujah. And so we see then that this praising is going on. And so we see then that it's, you know, I want to back up just a little bit to that hall, and to the fact that sometimes it seems extreme. Sometimes it seems strange. Sometimes it seems foolish. But it is a celebration of our salvation, the joy. And so then we move to Psalms 150. How many's ever heard Psalms 150? We quote it quite often to help encourage people to praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to know right here up front, Psalms 50 verse number 1 is, holla ye the Lord, holla God. Holla him, holla him, holla him, holla. Every one of these words for praise is holla. Which means you're going to extremes to praise God. Hallelujah. And I got some other things I want to share with you now through this. Where are we going to praise him? We're going to praise God in his sanctuary. We're going to praise him in the firmament of his power. You know where that's at? From what I looked up that word, that's when you're standing on your back porch or beside your house. You're looking off towards that sunset. And you just, you know, you see the sky because the earth is round. And you just see the whole fullness of the beauty of his creation. That's what that word firmament is talking about. When you see the glory of his creation, you praise him. Hallelujah. You celebrate him. You celebrate your salvation. You allow joy to fill your soul. You see, I don't think we look enough at the sunsets anymore, because we're looking so much at our trials, our temptations, our health issues. And please don't misunderstand me. Those things are real, but we got to look beyond those things and start looking looking unto the author, the finisher of our faith, and start giving him the praise and the glory and the honor that is due his name, so we can get our minds on heavenly things instead of all these earthly things. I'd rather be happy and have joy than be miserable and always looking at my bad stuff. How about you? See, that's possible. That's what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives, because that's where we need to praise him in the... Where are we at? We're in the sanctuary. We need to praise him in the firmament of his power, right? Out about everywhere, really. What do we praise him for? We praise him for his mighty acts. We praise him according to his excellent greatness. Hallelujah. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Miss our trumpet player. Praise... Somebody needs to learn the trumpet. Hallelujah. God will help you if you'll step up and start practicing. There's one right there. Praise God. I'm going to hold you to it, buddy. Hallelujah. Ask your dad if we don't make people practice. Glory. That's the only way you'll learn is if you practice. Do I got to play that bass again? Yep, you got to play it again. You need to go in there and practice. More today? Yep, more today. Hallelujah. Are you glad we did that to you now? Good. I'm glad you said that. Praise God. Yeah. Well, how many realize it's the only way you're going to get any better? Hallelujah. You want to get better at preaching, then practice. You think I'm kidding, don't you? No. Go out there and I done told Timmy. They're moving to a new place. They've got acreage over there. I said, you need to go out there and find you a place in that acreage and make you a path like Brother McDonald did. Yeah, just preach to that thorn bush out there. Don't slap it because it'll hurt. Yeah, but just preach to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because when you can learn to preach to nobody, you can preach to anybody. Man, that was a good saying, wasn't it? Somebody needs to write that down. Brother Pepper said that. Praise God. Because I've been there. I mean, that's what it... I really didn't originate that. Somebody told me that. And that's what they told me when I was a young preacher. You just need to learn to preach to nobody, and you can preach to anybody. And I took that literal, and that's why I've never had a problem preaching to nobody. Because we're all a bunch of nobody. Do you realize that you and I, and they said this over there at the pyramid, you and I are just mud. Just mud. Yeah, we were made out of the dust of the earth, and what is it, 96% of our body is water. So what happens when you mix water and dirt? You get mud. So when you get to thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, just look in the mirror and say, you ain't nothing but mud. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name, because we want to praise him. We want to honor him. We want to lift him up with the trumpet. We want to do it with the psaltery and the harp. Hallelujah. That wonderful piano sitting right over there. We want to do it with the timbrel. Amen. Somebody's got that tambourine out there somewhere. That's a timbrel. Glory to God. And we want to do it with a dance. Oh, we need to see more of that. I do want to interject this in here. The power of the Holy Ghost is miraculous. It's not a matter of, I like the music and I want to jive to it. That's not dancing. That ain't dancing at all. Not before God. Dancing is when the power of the Holy Ghost moves on you and unctions you to dance. It's not something you just like to do. It's something you surrender to do. If you like to just get up and dance, I'm probably going to tell you that's not the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will move you to worship in the way you don't really want to worship. He'll lead you into all truth of worship. And that dance will be that dance orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. Because it's all about dunamis. It's all about the miraculous power of God now. Because we're the church. We're the believers. We're the children of God. And our worship has escalated and moved to the higher realm of spiritual worship. And not just physical, natural worship. We got to remember that. And we got to understand that. Because it is as God moves, not as the music moves. Remember that. You'll wrestle with that now for a little while. Amen. Because a lot of times the music's there too, but so is God. And the music, and I'm getting to it, the music is there to help me worship and praise our God. That's what I'm sharing with you right here. Amen. With the trumpet, the psaltery, the harp, did it say loud cymbals? Oh, wow. The timbrel, the dance, praise him with stringed instruments. I think that bass has strings on it, doesn't it? Yeah, they're all still there. He hadn't broke one lately. Praise God. Stringed instruments. This is what we praise God. Did you catch that? You're praising God with that instrument. You're not just playing it to play it. You're praising God with the ability God has given you because you put forth the effort and the hard work to learn that instrument. Then He can anoint you on it. Hallelujah. And you're not doing it for your glory. You're doing it for His. Praise God. That's praise. That's worship. The stringed instruments, the organs. We don't have an organ here. But that word organ also means any reed instrument. Do you play an instrument, Maddie? What do you play? The dulcimer. That's funny, I haven't seen it here yet. That was a loaded question. Pastors do that all the time. Titus, do you play an instrument? The drums, just the drums? How's that coming? Why not? Can't find anybody. Just get in there and start playing. Just practice. You'll hear it. Teaching's fine. Don't misunderstand me. But just go in there and figure it out. Say, God, I want to play this for you. You might be astounded what you can play. Because I know a woman sitting right over there that really hadn't played the piano before she got saved that much. And then, for whatever reason, probably the unction of God, Brother Mullis, Brother Calvin Casey wanted her to start playing the piano. And she sat down at that piano and she prayed. And she asked God, God, help me to learn this so I can play for you. And she did. It wasn't quite that quick, but she did well. No. Her biggest struggle, her biggest battle wasn't her playing the piano. It was teaching me to sing and stay on time. Trust me, it was her business. What are you going to do with somebody? She says, all right, you're out of time. I said, no, I'm not. I'm on time. Woo. That was her biggest battle, her biggest struggle. Her biggest battle and struggle is keeping me in line most time anyway. Praise God. One of the loud cymbals. And here's a word. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. This here is a different word. And it's actually not really talking a whole lot about cymbals. It's really not. It's part of it. But that word high sounding, there it is. Teruah. Means clamor. Acclamation of joy. Or a battle cry. Especially clangor of trumpets as an alarum or an alarm. A blowing of trumpets for joy, for jubilee or jubile, which probably means the same as jubilee. Loud noise, rejoicing, shouting for joy. High sound. This is why sometimes when the power of the Holy Ghost gets to moving, people start escalating their voice to the highest sound they can make for God. Because that's what this is talking about. High sounding cymbals is when I take it to the highest level for my God. I give it all I've got. I give it all my voice. I give it all my might. I give it all my strength. Doesn't that sound like how we're supposed to love God? That's how we're supposed to praise Him too. Ooh, hallelujah. And that loud sounding cymbal, praise God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That means get all excited, wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus Christ and giving him praise, glory, and honor any way he sees fit through the power of the Holy Ghost. When I'm saying power, I'm talking miraculous. Because anything to do with the power of the Holy Ghost is miraculous. We've got to get that attitude and realize worship, God wants it to be miraculous. Woo! My. He don't want us just going through the motions. He just doesn't want it to be a ritual anymore. He wants it to be miraculous every time we begin to lift our voice and lift our hands. He wants to pour out the Spirit of God and bring joy unspeakable and full of glory, fresh and anew in our lives. Hallelujah. He inhabits the praises of Israel, which means he inhabits the praises of his people, which you and I are his people now. We're his children now. And he will inhabit those that holla. Physical and verbal. Instruments. Glory. To the place of celebration. What do you think of when you think of celebrating? Birthdays. That's good. I mean, that's something we celebrate. Do we celebrate birthdays? Yep, we celebrate Christmas. How many get a little excited at Christmas? Yeah. How many get excited in Sunday school? You know where I'm going now, don't you? Yeah, if you can get excited about Christmas, you better get excited about God's Word. Hallelujah. I mean, just coming to the house of God. We're going to church. Well, it's never been that way for you. It's always been that way for me since I got saved. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I mean, there was a time our kids said, oh, do we have to go? Yeah, we're going. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? Yes! That's exciting, isn't it? Celebrating. Do we celebrate like this? Woo! Glory to God! No, we don't celebrate like that, do we? Glory! Why in the world do you think we get so happy? Because we're celebrating our God. We're celebrating our salvation. Hallelujah. We're celebrating one another. Sorry, sis, I couldn't help myself. I'm just plumb celebrating about that. Glory to God. Celebrating our God. We got to get shook loose a little bit, church. And realize we have come to the house of God to celebrate. Amen. We're going to celebrate about songs and hymns and psalms. We're going to celebrate about the blood of the Lamb. We're going to celebrate about the Word of God. We're going to celebrate, hallelujah, because we've got joy, we got love, and we've got power from above. Glory. Oh, well, maybe you don't have all that. Woo, glory. You can. You can. Clamor, acclamation of joy, battle cry. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, my. But then it also has a root word. In other words, that was a compound word. And it's got a root word. Number 7321. Hallelujah. Oh, you ain't going to like this one. Because it says, especially by breaking, figuratively, the splitting of the ears with sound. Woo! That's what it's talking about. I'm sorry, Brother John, did I wake you up? Woo! Glory to God!
hallelujah to the Lamb. I mean, it's just the reality of that joy. Make a joyful noise to shout for joy, to sound the alarm or to sound the triumph. Hallelujah. I'm trying to share with you here tonight. If you'll get a little more acclimated in your praise, a little more vivacious in your praise, you'll never fall asleep in church. Praise God. I mean, that is the cure for falling asleep. It's being on your feet, lifting your voice, praising your God, shouting amen, hallelujah. Woo. I can't fall asleep preaching. I've never fell asleep preaching. Never. It's going to get rough next week because we're going to be teaching on the attitude towards listening, hearing, because it's worship. Man, we're trying to get through verbal and physical. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Make a joyful noise. To split the ears with sound. To shout for joy. To blow an alarm. To cry aloud. To cry out. Amen. It says there to destroy. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. What is praise going to destroy? The desire for sin. Praise will destroy it. Oh, you see, this is why we struggle so much sometimes. Because we do not praise God near as much as He's worthy to be praised. And near as much as what He's done for us, the grace He's had to us, the long suffering He's had to us, the time and times again He's forgiven us of our sins and brought us out of the miry clay over and over and over and over again. Woo! We need to be praising God for that, and we won't go back to that pit. Hallelujah! Because we're going to acclimate ourselves into the kingdom deeper. We're going to step up on that stairway to heaven, and we're going to realize praise is not an option. Brother Lucas touched it a little bit, you know, those building blocks. And we look at that, oh, I like that one. And then we put our own in there. Well, that's just Brother Pepper's praise. I wish everybody could have been with us at that minister's retreat. Woo! They were animated. They were vivacious. They got up out of their pew. We never hardly sat on our pew. Even during the preaching. What was going on? Worship. Praise. We've got to get an understanding. Serious servants have the right attitude towards praise. They realize that it is their life source to keep them strong. In the power, there's that word again, power of His might. Hallelujah. I'm going to move on here. I trust I'm getting it across to you. I may have tarried too long on all of it. Acts 5:19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. You want to see the miraculous? Then make sure you're speaking the right things. Brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Are we ready to share words of life? Oh, hang on with me. With those people that cut in front of us on the highway. Woo! Are we ready to share the words of life with those folks? You want to pull over and give them a piece of our mind? Is it the godly side or the natural side? Woo! Are we ready? I mean, here they are in prison. And the angel of the Lord comes in there, and this is what He tells them. Go stand, speak in the temple, and tell all the words of this life. Hallelujah. Sharing Christianity. Amen. That's our ministry. Praising God. All right. Oh, help me, Jesus. I got to move on. I got to move on. I can't chase that rabbit trail right now. Oh, yes, Lord, I will sooner or later. Praise not right now. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. This one is very, very... This is praise. Did you know that? This is praise. When we make sure we say things that will help people instead of down people. So that's what praise is all about. Because basically what you're doing is you're actually giving them praise. But in the process, it is in reality giving God praise. Words of affirmation, even if they haven't done a perfect job. Words of affirmation are to encourage them to do better. Pointing out how bad it was is not proper communication. It's not good communication, and it's not edifying the hearers. So praise is not just in the sanctuary. Praise is speaking the right words at the right time, at the right place. Hallelujah. Because we're trying to win people to Jesus. We're trying to keep people serving Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why we don't want any corrupt communication proceeding out of... What would corrupt communication? This is not necessarily talking about foul language. I'm not talking about filthy language. This is talking about speaking the wrong words that are not going to help anybody, anywhere, anytime. That's what it's talking about. If you don't have... How many's ever heard this? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Amen, sis. Hallelujah. That's right. Just bite your tongue. You'd love that, wouldn't you? How many's ever bit your tongue? Don't you just love biting your tongue? You know. Nobody, nobody's in bit your tongue on purpose in here, have you? Just to see what it feels like? Okay, that's okay. You know, but most of the time it's an accident, but, you know, actually we need to bite it on purpose if we don't have anything good to say. Take that flesh. Woo! It's rough. But that's what the Bible says. Let no communication. So a serious servant, his attitude towards his communication. Wow, didn't we just come off how many weeks of communication? Is everybody great communicators now? You communicate everything you want. You make sure you give all details and you give everybody else opportunity to speak too. You know, we have that talking stick around here somewhere. It's kind of evaded us now. Communication is very important. That's why we taught on it. And here the Word of God says, let no corrupt communications proceed out of our mouth. Let's move on. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm fearful that a lot of times we don't tap in to the power of the Holy Ghost. We know we're supposed to. We know we can. We know we have before. Because that word means miraculous. And that means for the miraculous to start transpiring in my life, self is going to have to be annihilated. Because God doesn't share the glory. And for the power, the miraculous power of God to come on the scene, I'm going to have to be ready to die. In other words, if I'm frustrated, kill it. If I'm irritated, kill it.
Oh, Brother Pepper, I mean, you know, I mean, that's hard. Yeah, it's hard. But don't you want to praise Him? Don't you want to honor Him? Don't you want the miraculous power of God to show up? Because it won't show up until I'm ready to deny myself and submit unto God whatever needs to be done in this situation. That's a tight one. That's a rough one. I'm going to have to go pray about that. How about you? Yeah, because most of the time we don't wait for the miraculous power of God. We just utter it, Lord, help me. That's not miraculous. Miraculous is waiting, calming down, collecting thoughts until the miraculous power of God shows up and I get the right vision in front of me and not the wrong one. And then I can step back into the situation and God will be glorified. I got some situations coming up in my life. I'm going to need the miraculous power of God and not me just trying to control myself. Did you catch that one? Because that's what it's talking about. Hallelujah. I mean, He wants to fill you with all joy. Everything about worship, everything about God, everything about praise is joy. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's done in the supernatural, miraculous power of God and not just good thoughts about the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we're not getting there. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That means it's just totally carnal, fleshly, and not acceptable and not going to help anybody. Where do a lot of people go when they don't cope well with life circumstances? Used to, it was just to alcohol. Of course, now we're living in a society, it's meth, it's all kinds of drugs, it's all kinds of things. But Paul said, that's not where you're going to get your help. Your help's going to come when you get filled with the Spirit. And you get filled with the Spirit and you move into worship. You move into praise, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's talking about cheerfulness. Oh, man. That seems to avoid us and evade us. Seems like a whole lot anymore in life. It's just cheerfulness. Just smiling. Just being happy. Because it seems like we're fighting more devils than we've ever fought in our entire life. But yet at the same time, God says, I've got a place. I've got a place. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? It's that power of the Holy Ghost. The miraculous power of the Holy Ghost. You see, we're settling for just a small amount of power when God has got miraculous power available. But I think it's because we have forgotten that it's supposed to be miraculous, and we're settling for less than what God has to give. Because He's a miraculous God. He's an excellent God. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. And He has everything I need for fullness of joy. Did you catch that? He has everything I need for fullness of joy. But I cannot have fullness of joy if I'm hanging on to everything that takes me down. I've got to let go of that and lay hold of the miraculous power of God. It takes
faith to do that. But the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because I've got to believe that He is. And He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. What's He going to reward with? Miraculous power to take me through things that I don't think I can go through or I can deal with anymore or cope with anymore. He's going to lift you up above the shadows. Hallelujah. Oh, they preached on it down there at Empowerment Experience about that anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Hallelujah. Because it's a place where I'm not seeing it through natural eyes, but I'm seeing it through heavenly eyes. I'm seeing it through the eyes of Jesus Christ because I'm giving it all to Him and I'm not trying to hang on to it. I'm just wanting to be a yielded vessel to walk through it. Hallelujah. So He can be glorified. He can be magnified. He can be exalted. He can be lifted up. Hallelujah. Didn't say it's going to be easy. But that's worship. That's praise. That's a servant's attitude towards speaking, praising our God. It always involves physical and verbal. And now I'm adding a third one, surrender. A lot of times we think we surrender, but then we go right back to it. Then we didn't really surrender it because now it's still bothering us again. You've got to lay it down and offer it as a sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. And then let that miraculous power take its place. What's it going to bring? It's going to bring faith. It's going to bring confidence. It's going to bring boldness. Hallelujah. Glory. You're going to begin to boast about your God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. God's going to take me through this. God's going to help me through this. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. He's going to do, oh, miraculous things when we move into the miraculous power of an almighty God. So if you want to see the miraculous, then you're going to have to go there. How do you get there, Brother Pedro? You get there by worshiping in spirit and in truth. Give no place to the devil, but give all quarters unto God. Relinquish all fear, doubt, and unbelief with confidence in what God said He would do if you invited Him to do it. Servant's attitude, number four, our attitude towards worship that involves speaking, the physical, the verbal, and surrender. That's what praise is all about. Surrendering ourselves fresh and anew to God. Hallelujah. All right. Thanks, Sister Pepper. Made mention of that this morning in opening announcements. Coming to the house of God. For a brand new surrender. But I just surrendered. Yep, it's time for a new one. Hallelujah. Because that's how it works. Amen. If you surrendered yesterday, well, did you not realize yesterday was Saturday and this is Sunday? And if you surrender today, do you not realize tomorrow's Monday and you're going to have to surrender tomorrow? Praise our God. You're going to have to worship tomorrow. Amen. You're going to have to worship in the power of His firmament. Glory. We're worshiping in the sanctuary. I'm shutting it down. I got to shut it down. Oh, God of heaven, You're so great. You are so great. That's why worship is such a vital, important part. Amen. It is really one of the most important parts of a Christian's life because it involves every aspect. Our voice, our bodies, our ears, glory. And we'll deal with some more of it should the Lord tarry. Not next week. That's Proverbs next week. So you'll have a reprieve. Praise God. You'll have 2 weeks to start loving Brother Pepper again. Amen. Let's stand. Father in heaven, you are so wonderful. You are so kind. You are so great. Your salvation is so vast. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, just enlarge our minds, enlarge our hearts, enlarge our souls. Help us, oh God, quicken us, God, tonight of how much miraculous power you want to move in our lives with. Help us not limit you to our own mind frames, but Lord, help us to open up our minds to your word, what your word declares, what your word says you want to do in our lives. Lord, that we can make it through these fiery trials. Lord, that we can make it through these times of testing and temptation. Lord, that we can make it through these times of difficulty and sorrow and grief. Oh God, where could we go for help but unto you? Oh Father in heaven, Lord, we just relinquish ourselves unto you fresh and anew. Lord, we want to have the right mindset. Oh, we want to cling to your word. We want to believe your word. We want to walk your word. Father, I pray, touch your people this night. Lord, with your Holy Ghost, God, with that miraculous power in our innermost being, hallelujah, that we can rise up, Lord, and we can proclaim how great our God is. Hallelujah to the King. Glory to the Father. Glory to the Son. Glory to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Could we just lift our hands unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Lift your voice unto your God. And give him that praise, that adoration, praising him, magnifying him, thanking him. Hallelujah. For the love that he has bestowed unto our lives, the salvation. And these altars are open for anyone that would love to come. Hallelujah. Oh, and allow the Holy Ghost to quicken. Bring us alive. Oh, more alive than we've been before.